Welcome to Starving Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run the SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us every Thursday. We have a stream starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the Discord server, Starfleet Universe Online Discord server, and you can join the SFU On Call stream voice channel. And you can find the invite to the server on the sfuoncall.com website. And if you want to watch us on Twitch, just go to twitch.tv/sfuoncall. Yes, twitch.tv/sfuoncall. You can join the chat there and watch the stream live right there. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, follow me on the Twitters. I have the SFU On Call account. Also, a personal account, which is Paul Franz, PAULFRANZ. And of course, my business account, which is Franz Games, FRANZGAMES. And of course, I have my Blue Sky accounts, which are the SFU On Call .bsky.social and the FranzGames.com accounts that you can follow if you want to follow me over on Blue Sky. And of course, a lovely podcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes, various feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB. Not much happening there, though. Steve Cole did have a cancerous lesion removed from his head on the size of a quarter. Everything went well. There's no issue there. But obviously, we have our thoughts and prayers with Steve as he recovers from the minor surgery. Quick, when it comes to other news, not much happening there. Obviously, they're still working. There you go. Patrick working on Module K, and Steve working with Albert on the 3D ships contract. I'm not sure. They might have completed, actually, if they would have completed, they would have sent out something. So I say that's still something that's not quite finished. Okay, moving onward to the Found on the Online Store. This week, we have the SFB Advanced Missions Counter Sheet. So if you either lost your counter sheet or never had one and want to have the counter sheet so you have some counters to play SFB on the actual real board. You know, it costed $7.95, and there's 216 counters from Advanced Missions. Moving on and forward, when it comes to SFB Online tournaments, we have, of course, Sevar Star 19 tournament. The finals have been set, as I mentioned last week, which is Spartan versus Cadet Stimpy. Now, they were supposed to play this past Monday / Tuesday, depending upon which time zone you're talking about. And they tried, and it did not work because of the, as I was concerned about, it was happened to be true, which is the internet connection on the cruise ship, which Daniel was on, well, wasn't as solid connection as required. So they decided to delay it until after Daniel got back from his cruise. And that's perfectly fine for the finals. Obviously, you know, we want it done as soon as possible, but the finals are not one of those things that it's timed and you have to get done with a certain period of time because it is the finals. When it comes to Sapphire Star 20 tournament, we are now have six of the required 16 signups. Hopefully, we will get more people. I will send out another email and also post who have signed up so far in that tournament. And hopefully we can get those ready and going by next month. And come moving onward to the Starfleet Warlord stuff. 58 and 59 are still going strong. With standard game number 98, which has started, we have a 6x6 game. 6x6. I think it's 6x6. I gotta double check. I'm pretty sure it's 6x6. style game because we only got 9 players. And since we have 9 players, you know, that fills up the board for standard game number 98. And hopefully people will have fun. It's always nice to have a smaller board and have it so that people are more tightly within with each other's, so they're not spending a lot of time just gathering up killing off NPCs, which are my understanding are very relatively easy to do. Moving on for when it comes to the library report, nothing new when it comes to things done, but I'm working with Frank and Matt to have a new system in place to actually submit things and get the things for the library actually posted up and so forth, and get it so it's a better and more quicker process when it comes to it. So with that is the news for this week. It's me, yes, the one and all Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we've got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we actually have multiple people also on the voice chat for this. We have Iggy and Mad Cow, and if I call correctly, Mad Cow is Russ. And I forget who Iggy is at the moment. But anyhow, welcome all. And Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. Obviously, well, when most people actually listen to this, Hanukkah will be close to being over. I know Hanukkah is this week, because my brother-in-law is Jewish, i.e., so my wife celebrates that with them. My understanding from her, she did not become Jewish. But she, you know, celebrates with her sons and her husband, which is fine, you know. Oh, he's over here too. Hey, why not?
You know, it's a fine Christian tradition too, if you really think about it, depending on your denomination. So there you go. So happy Hanukkah, everybody. Merry Christmas and happy other holidays that may be there for you.
Let's see
And a
here.
happy New Year too, because that's
Yeah,
sneaking up right afterwards.
and thank you for reminding me, because this is one of those weird years for y'all, weird years for me, in that both Christmas and therefore New Year's, because they're 7 days apart, both end up on a Thursday. Because of that, I will not have a podcast, because I record them on Thursday nights, until the new year. So just a reminder, this will be the last one until the new year.
Wow.
In that case, I will join you again and discuss the Starfleet universe, what's going on there, and other things around the net. So just
Well,
because
that brings a random thought to my head.
what's that?
Since you're not going to have a podcast for 2 weeks, you want to try and do a off the schedule, not normal time podcast with me? I've been thinking about doing a thing for years. Could always kick it off on an inaugural other day of not the normal day, like a Monday or a Tuesday or something. If you want, it could be like an hour o eve and or wowness, where I can do my thing on the other machine and say, hey, here's me getting whacked in wow or whacked in eve or whatever, or here's me grinding away at the Christmas special thing in eve, because it's, oh my gosh, taking forever sometimes. Yeah. And stuff.
Yeah, well, I think I should be able to arrange that Especially if it's on a Monday, the definitely not on a Wednesday, because on the 31st, I don't know when it is. It's going to be sometime during that day. I'm going to have an endoscopy on the 31st, and won't know until the 30th. And when they'll actually,
oh, all good.
When they'll actually have it. I already had my, just call up. Okay, just check your medical history. Make sure there's nothing crazy that we have to be concerned with, and that kind of thing. You know, standard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of having you sit there, fill out a form, and then they find out. You know, oh boy, we got a problem. You know, call you up 2 weeks ahead of time. Which is fine. You know, got it all worked out. But anyhow, enough of me. It's always about me, isn't it? So. Hi. We're gonna start off with something that I've been having a discussion back and forth with patients zero. A little more than that. Let me just look at this for a moment.
Is this about the tournament?
I don't think you're right. Okay, sorry. Forgive me.
What?
I just looked it up. Because we're in the middle of this thread. We've been discussing.
No.
Okay. Fine. We're going to... All right, I keep reading the guy's thread, and there's some things I completely disagree with. Basically, we were talking a little bit about, of course, the survey. We got talking about the survey because that was the last episode that I posted on YouTube. And here's what basically was just one thing. Okay, you know, that's he was the one who brought the idea forward that, you know, I should create an actual survey because the big thing with assuming things when it comes to the tournament, why people don't want to play the tournament is that we assume. We need to find out data. We need to find out what there actually is, at least to the degree that we can. And one of the things I also mentioned to it, it's like, I'm not going to post this up on Facebook because what's the point of posting on Facebook the survey for whether, you know, why you don't want to play in a tournament if you're not willing to play using the client. Because, you know, you have to be able to, you have to at least want to try the client for me to even have, I think, to have a valid input from you, because no matter what you do when it comes to the tournament, you're going to have to play it using the client. You know, and then, you know,
there may be a lot of people that don't even know about the client
that
on
is,
Facebook.
That is possible, though. We do have, of course, we have the one page for SFB Online, and also we have the SFB Online, Start of the Battles Online actual group, which I didn't start. Someone else started.
Oh no! Plus, there's tons of other groups out there. So
yeah, and there's some
people start their own thing randomly here and there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, agreed. But the another one, you know, he was talking about, which is, a Vassal module, and I already mentioned to you, you know, how I thought that basically I felt like, that. The reason why he wanted a Vassal module is something because he wanted something that was free, and he was just his latest reply, which is, I would not dismiss the Facebook crowd so easily as unwilling to use the client. While I think more would be participating online if there were a Vassal module, I don't think so. There was a post just today, I think, that about someone using it but wanting to use small ships until they got a hang of it. That kind of proves the point of people. Okay, where? Okay, I'll check Facebook this on the Facebook groups.
Well, you can use the client for pretty much anything.
Right. Oh, agreed. Yeah. Because currently the only free ships are cruisers, meaning that if you don't pay for it, the only ones that are available are there's two cruisers when it comes to the Federation Commander, game window, the game rooms, and then we have same when it comes to SFB, we have the two cruisers, which is again Federation and Klingon, those two cruisers.
Yeah, and that sounds like you're just trying to get free stuff,
right? If you want free, you can do that. If the idea is to learn how to use the client, possibly how to use, if you don't want to place the SFB, we do have the actual cadet stuff there available for people to use the cadet. I'd have to check because I'm not sure if the cadet version actually is available for free or not. If not, I really should make that free for people to learn how to play, use the client, and also how to learn to play SFB itself. I have to look at the post itself and whether it was about the online client, because, right. Okay, definitely the online client, because if there was a Vazian, well, there would be, there, I think there would be more participation if there was a vassal module. My question is, okay, when it comes to the vassal module, because I looked at it, and again, it's based off the same platform, for the most part, which is Java. And if you want to do any graphical thing, you have to do it in Java and it would probably look the same way as it did on the online client. When it comes to the look of any EAs and the ships, in theory, it could be graphical, but again, the one thing that, even if I did a vassal module, the one thing I'd have to do, because of its IP, the intellectual property, I can't give the stuff away for free. That must be paid for. I need to pay the licensing fee to ADB. So I need to pay, have people. I can have it so the vassal module requires you to have a login to use the module. In which case, it has to be a paid for module.
Mm-hmm.
So if their expectation that if it's vassal, it's going to be free, that would be an incorrect assumption.
Yeah.
And an assumption that how it looked would be different. Yeah, the way it played might be different. And because the one thing that I have to double check with the Vassal module and using Vassal itself. The big one that I looked at this many, many years ago now, I looked at Vassal, building a Vassal module and what it takes and what's available and so forth. And the one thing, why does it get slow when you launch 60 drones? Probably resources. I'd have to check
this. Because you launch 60 drones and it's not magic.
Yeah, Iggy says Vassal is not as good as SFB Online. I haven't play with Vassal enough. But the one issue that I had back in the day, now this is many years ago now. I forget what version of Vassal I was looking at that point. I think it was like 2X something. And that is the biggest issue was the one thing that SFB does that nothing else does, which is, of course, segments. In theory, you can implement it. The segment, the impulse segments, you can do that, but you have to go through each segment one at a time. And I'm not sure if Vassal can handle segments versus turns breakout. It might be able to do it. And I'm not, when it comes to Federation Commander, I'm not sure it can handle that, which is each turn is broken up into impulse. Actually, when it comes to SFB, you have each turn is then broken up into impulses. Then each impulse is broken up into segments. Now, with Federation Commander, it's a little more difficult because of you got turns, which are broken up into impulses, which are broken into segments. Some are movement segments. Some are action segments. Because you have the one segment which is the moving segment, with actually you might have to break that up into multiple segments, or it comes to how, I'm not sure how you implement movement. When it comes to, do you actually handle regimenting who moves and who does not move? Can you do that in Vassal? I know Vassal's currently 3-7. I think he's mentioning that. I noticed that was on the website today. I wanted to look at it enough to have a better discussion about it, but as I said, it's been a while and things have changed a little bit. I understand, Iggy, that I think it's silly to duplicate that for SFB Online and in Vassal. The only reason I would even attempt to do anything with Vassal would be just to see how hard it is. And obviously, the one thing before I do anything else, before I didn't even touch one bit of code in Vassal, to make basically it's Java again. The look and feel for the attributes, because they say they have traits. It's what they call them. They call them traits, and each trait has what's called a decorator. And that decorator, my understanding is that each trait has a decorator, and the decorator is basically a way of viewing that trait. Now, I'm not sure how that integrates with the Vassal engine itself. I have to look more closely into that to see exactly how that works. And I'm not sure the one thing they mentioned, which of course is the .vmod file, which I'm not sure what, I'm assuming it describes your module. I'm not sure what actually is in that file and what's the format of the file. It's my guess. It's probably like a property file. I have a hard time believing at this moment in time that it's an XML file. It could be. I don't know. The one thing they did mention, I did see, which was that any module that was created for version 3.7 of the Vassal engine is incompatible with any earlier versions of the Vassal engine. Oh, vmod is just a zip file? Okay. There are some details about Vassal that I'd want to know about. Basically, when it comes to the Vassal, if the vmod is just the zip file of it, okay, what's the descriptive file? Is that the build file, the XML file? Is that what that is? That's in the vmod that describes traits and decorators and things like that. Yeah. And of course, then there's the one thing that I don't think it can do, secret and simultaneous. Because especially when it comes to, I know one thing which is, okay, you go. I was hoping you knew a little more about Vassal and the breakdown. But yeah, the secret simultaneous. The big issue, obviously, is if you're trying to, one thing that Vassal allows you to play is actually play not just online, play it allows you to play basically play by email style. But what the way you do that is you, well, each person will record what they're going to be doing, and then you play it. Well, when it comes to secret and simultaneous of fire launching plasma, launching drones, things like that, they, how can you make that secret if you have your one player and play and like a play by email, you know, off on an asynchronous play kind of thing? Handle that without cheating. You know, okay, I'm launching. Okay, oh, I'm gonna launch drones too. I'm firing. Oh, I'm gonna fire too. You know, don't get started on Call for Fire because that. Well, to me, that call. I'm just gonna mention real quick, and I'm just gonna let it go. I'm not going to belabor the point. To me, Call for Fire has always, to me, felt like that it's codifying Me Too. Obviously, when it comes to Call for Fire, in theory, you can do a Call for Fire and go, I'm not going to fire anything. Which is completely valid. And then
you can bait your opponent. Yeah,
exactly. You can bait your opponent into firing when you had not planned on it. It goes into a head game kind of thing. Totally psychological when it comes mm-hmm. to trying to get your opponent off guard and doing those kind of mental games. And it's like, nah. You know, I've never seen anyone really do that. Yes, I've seen people call for fire every once in a while and then not fire, which...
Kind of or like, I fire a phaser 3 or
right,
something.
Right. Yeah. Well, I can understand that. Which is, if you do a call for fire and then you fire like a couple phasers because of you want to get closer, and you know that those phasers, you're going to get internals, and those phasers are going to probably go bye-bye. So you want to fire them before you lose them, but at the same time, get a chance to actually fire them and inflict some damage, mm-hmm. you know, even though your main alpha is not.
Oh, yeah, but what I'm saying is that it's a sub firing. It's like, it's not like I'm firing my alpha, but I'm trying to bait you into firing your alpha
right.
early.
Right. Oh, I agree there.
Oh, call for fire. Oh, yeah, I fire one phaser 3 at you. You know,
yeah,
but you're like 4 hexes away.
And yeah, but again, I'm
dump your load at you, and you go into range 0 for the kill.
Right. True. If the person who just fired a single phaser 3 is the person who instigated the call for fire, you know, then yeah. Because that's the one thing about call for fire, which is why I say that it's kind of a Me Too, which is a person can say, I call for fire. Now your opponent can say, oh, he's going to fire. Well, there's a good chance he's going to fire. So, I'm going to fire too. You know, because it's most possible that what's going to happen is that he's going to fire and then he's going to turn away. And therefore, he won't be getting any closer, possibly even getting further away at that point. You know, and I want to make sure I get the closest shot as possible. So... No.
Other than plotting everything, it's kind of hard to get around that. Yeah, It just is. I mean, it's just the nature of how the game is built, because it's secret and simultaneous, but it's simultaneous. So,
yeah, you can do. When it comes to SFB Online, you can't. There is a. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, actually, because when we were actually discussing Colorful Fire and versus Pure Impulsivity, and at one point when that discussion was hot and heated, many years ago, I've actually could look up, because I did archive. I archived the whole discussion thread. I still have a copy of it. I've never gotten rid of it. I when it comes to the discussion board, I archive them, and I keep them for future, not, well, future reference, basically.
Write that sucker out and use it for wallpaper.
Possibly.
I mean, you can pace back and forth and read the things off different parts of the wall.
Yeah.
Get like a little exercise in while you're getting all worked up on it.
Mm. But anyway, yeah. Yes. It was pretty intense to the point where ADB had had to move it to its own separate topic. And one, we had to make sure people were being nice. Otherwise, you want to talk about, that's one way to get yourself kicked off, is to be overly
passionate.
Overly passionate, yeah. And start calling people names that's the one thing I like about the discussion board, is that it is moderated. ADB and Gene and so forth, they will kick your ass out. Mm-hmm. If you are being malicious,
if you're a jerk.
You're being a jerk. You're a jerk. You will be kicked out. You know? And, you know, you'd be knocked off. And to me, that's completely and utterly valid. If you want to harass somebody online, I will not participate in that.
It's a discussion board, not a back alley.
So, right.
There you go.
Right. Which actually, that's the funny part, is that Patient Zero was mentioning that, that he figured that if him and I would have a discussion on the discussion board, he would be kicked out. It's like, well, dude, I'm not sure what they said about you.
That's basically it.
You know, if
we've all known people like that over the years.
Yeah, and I've known a couple of people that got kicked off because of them just being basically overly aggressive, jerks, assholes. You know.
Yeah.
Basically.
Not everyone thinks like me. How dare you? Let me get my hammer. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Exactly. Huh? And
let me show you a different hammer. It's called the Ban Hammer.
Yeah, the funny part is, I think he mentioned that Paul Scott created an alternate board, which I don't remember that.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
No.
Should I have your mud rat on over there.
Yeah, because obviously I wasn't part of that board, so it's like, I'm not sure who he told the board about, because I don't think he told me about it. So probably because he thought, figured I was
super secret squirrel board.
Yeah, probably thought I was like in ADB's back pocket, and I would quote unquote rat him out. I'm not sure. Whatever. Whatevs. You know, I'm not going to go there. But here's the thing: is no matter what, he said, that people don't not having the patience to learn the client. Well, they got patience. People have to have patience to learn Vassal. You know that engine, how that works.
Dude, if you can learn SFP, you've got the patience to learn pretty much any damn thing. That's just a check your damn logic moment. You said with the Vassal. No, that applies to SFB to start with. And he's complaining about that. No, there's a certain point where you have to say, no, get over yourself.
Right. But I told him, and I do plan on doing this, which is creating a separate survey about the client and Vassal module and so forth. There are people familiar with it, would they like to see that? Obviously, what are the things that you don't like about the client? I think, and this is one thing that I said, that's one thing I would be willing to post on Facebook, because I feel like That would give me good input. That would give me actual data that I could use to help improve either the client or improve the direction of what I'm doing. You know, a lot of people say, yeah, I use Vasa all the time for playing X game. Because obviously they're not playing SFB, but they can play, there's other games that are available on using the Vasa engine. You know?
Mm-hmm.
One thing, actually, let me go over there for a moment. VasaEngine.org. So I've, and I think, may go to S. I'm just wondering if the one I'm thinking of is Starmada. I wonder if they have a module for Starmada. I think I heard they did. Da-da-da. Squad leaders on there. Oh, here's one. Stalo, which is like 11 years ago. Oh, Stalin's War, which is 14 years ago. So it's a very, very old module. God. Very, very old module.
Wow.
This should have been pulled. They still have Starfleet Battle Force, which should have been pulled. My understanding is that Steve Cole wanted that pulled. The Starfleet Battle Cadet Training Manual, that's been up there for a while. And Steve Cole is fine with that. Star Trek, Star Wars, Starfire. Wow. 13 years old. Starmada, they actually have one. Starmada 2024. It's the miniature board game, Starship Combat. It's basically level. This last month. Let me just take a look at this real quick. Yeah, this is actually Starmada from Alpha. Interesting. I actually want to do this. Just for giggles. So that people can see what I'm looking at. Planets. And, yeah, you know, this is stuff that people imported. Yeah. Right. That's the thing with Starmada, is that you can actually can create your own ships, which is interesting. And an old one, which is Starmada, which is 15 years old, which is, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Does that still exist? Nope. It doesn't. This one was just Red Jack. Like, no. It got taken over. Yeah. That'd be interesting to look at that. Obviously, as I said, we have, if people want to learn, you know, this one, which is, SFB Attic. This is Les LeBlanc, is the guy who owns it, and he's perfectly fine. And this is an official SFB Cadet module for Vasa allowed by ADB, which is true. You know, I'd be careful with these. Paramount ever got a hold of you, might be a big, big, deep, deep doo-doo. My question is, how does he handle firing? Here's the impulse procedures, bum, 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 bum. Move ships, move shuttles, bum, bum, resolve. This showing. And there's the impulse chart. I'm not sure how that works for him. That's a look. And there's weapons charts. I'm assuming that you actually have to, I'm not sure how you roll dice in Vassal.
No clue.
Yep, and my
never touched it.
Right. Looks like he's got some boards already pre-built in. But you got it'd be kind of cool. I'd have to look at that to see what he did with. Because the big thing for me would be okay. You can, I'm not sure how his SSDs work. Because obviously he's got these three, and I'm assuming those are for three different ships that he's created. These are cadet versions. And when it comes to, okay, you can apply damage. It's pretty. Apply damage. I'm not sure if it has a DAC and actually rolls the dice and then applies the damage automatically, or is it more of okay, it tells you what the roll does, you know, what the damage is, and then you have to select it and have an interactive like, oh yeah, I've got one of those, I'll apply the damage. Basically, how smart is this, are the SSDs? That's the one thing I'd want to know. But obviously, he's been keeping basically up to date. It's only 3 years old at this point. So, you know, looking at it, I got the swing. This is wow. I'm looking down at the bottom of the screen. Actually, does it work? Oh, it does. Wow. This is basically the visual guide from, as you can see, web.mit.edu. This is about, you know, and then.
Oh, so you're kind of on your own.
Yep. Right. Well, you have to create. Yeah, you have to create your own screens. You know, you have to develop, you know, the job, the different things in Java. You know. So. Interesting. I might play around with the Vassal engine just to see how it works. I know I looked at it before, and there are certain features that I would love to implement. There's one thing I would really love to implement, and I worked on it many years ago, and then I'm not sure if Java changed or it stopped working, which was the whole idea, and I got this from the idea from Cyberboard. That is the idea, instead of having, you have this big long list of all of the ships. What you would do instead of grabbing it from a big long list is that you click, you'd have your little tray, and then you click on the icon that, you know, the ship you want to add, and you click and you drag. And then it'd pop up, and then you'd have to give it some information about that piece. You know, what is the heading, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, well, the refits and so forth that would then have to be selected, you know, so things like, you know, that was one of those things that I was thinking about doing many, many years ago. I worked on that quite a bit, the idea of clicking and dragging it onto the board. I'm not sure where it is at the moment. I'm sure some of the code is still there on the online client, but I has not have not worked on it for ages. The biggest, I feel like the biggest issue for using the a tray is that the number of ships that are available are just insane. And actually one time, actually I in an online client, actually is that still an option? Let me do this and I'll do something real quick. I'll get to the client and Iggy, you're all over the place. He's also on the online server. That is okay. That piece here. I didn't say that's one thing I did my best to is a simplify things. I added a search, which I think was a great idea. Oh, there it is. Don't press this button. Actually, let's go to tournaments and let's go here. Now, this, we'll show you this. Now, if I go over to here, this I'm pretty sure it'll lock up. Now, I'm gonna let it go for the moment. But I'm pretty sure it'll crash the program or get very close to.
Oh.
Because basically, right now, what it's doing is off every single ship. It's loading every single counter for every single ship. It's downloading
That's not
all of them and bringing them into memory. So.
Oh. That's not
Iggy
good.
doesn't like that I have a green board. He said my
I
eyes.
don't like that either. Yeah, exactly. That was my first reaction to it the first time I saw it. And I kind of still agree. It's like, ow.
I like it actually,
But
but
yeah.
okay, can I? No,
Have you
this
tried other colors that aren't as painful?
not sure what colors that would be. Yeah, see right now it's locked up. It is really, really locked up. Okay.
You know what might be actually kind of interesting?
Which is
Trying ivory as a background.
that beans
Like an
is
off-white.
wow, that beans is really churning. I don't know what it's doing. Anyway. Yeah, this is locked up, so I'm gonna do this. I'm just gonna kill it. Bye bye. But that's the big issue with having that tray is that if you load up all of the icons, all of the counters, it just sits there and just chugs because it takes so long to download it all and then post it. And by the way, anyone who actually was looking at the actual screen there and saw the terminal window, that is QRandom. It was some quick curl commands to roll dice with QRandom IO. I do have that in part of the client. I just haven't released it yet. So I need to work on doing that. But yeah. As you if you notice here that yet another Vassal module programming tutorial. Introduction. Vassal Engine is a Java-written app based on a simple GUI framework, Swing. Generic GUI experience is useful, but does not matter much. Personally, I'm not familiar with Swing. A few weeks ago, I had limited knowledge of Java as well. Instead of providing a modding capabilities through a dedicated scripting layer, such as Lua, scripting for TTS or CMO, Vassal Engine reads a build file .xml file from the vmod, which is essentially a zip file upon launching. So basically, as I mentioned, talked to Iggy previously, yes, that exactly is the case. Which is the, there's a I noticed it was mentioned in the tutorial, a build file, that XML file, which basically describes things. Yes, where this is the command encoder, and it's loaded related to the class files from the vmod file and create an instance of the name of the using a secure class loader, which is interesting. I'm not familiar with secure class loader. I gotta look at that. I use a class loader. Those instances are registered and create a custom UI, because actually the thing is, because SAP Online Client, it basically works to the same degree, the same way, in that each game room is a different module, and it's loaded separately in the client. You just don't see it. It's not exposed. I have a descriptor file, and actually part of the descriptor is just the actual jar file itself. As part of the jar file is, for those of you who know any Java, there's a part of a jar file that's called the manifest file. And I add, as part of SAP Online, that jar file has a manifest file. And the manifest file tells you certain attributes of this game, this game module, and that what interacts with things. So, if you ever looked at the client, we got to talk, because how did you get access to the code? There's one way of doing it, which I've not locked down, and I don't think I really should. And we tried this many ago, which is obfuscation of code. In theory, you could decompile the client if you really, really, really wanted to, and find out how it worked. Really, 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 really wanted to, you could do that. Because it's Java, you can do that. We long ago and far away, as part of my day job, we actually did obfuscate the code for a while. The biggest issue with obfuscating code is that there's certain things that we did, which was because of the way Java is, and we it's like, great, we can do this, which is the dynamic loading of classes. You can compile them and never load them, and just load them at a certain point. Well, the thing is, you have to know what the name of that class is, and obfuscation changes the name of the class. So we actually decided later on, that was a bad idea. We're not going to do that anymore, which I think is a great thing, especially if you lie. And geez, a lot of applications and things like that rely on that dynamic nature of Java when they're written in Java, to load things, and so does some other, I'm not sure if you can do the same thing in Python. I don't know. Python is the new hotness for people. Oh, you got to write in Python. Yeah, I could write in Python, but I hate the documentation for one. It doesn't describe things as well as, if you want good documentation, go to Perl. They have good documentation. But anyhow, so they have this tutorial, which actually I was going over, because this is a sample. This is the GitHub repo, and they talk about it. And this is Maven files. The one thing that is nice is that this, boom, 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 right? They haven't open sourced it. They haven't posted an open repository. They have their own repository. But nice thing about it, obviously, which I'm assuming basically it's because of, you kind of have to do that. If you're going to have it so people actually have to compile Java code, which is a POM file. POM files are a way of defining how to build a Java application. And it's a build. So a POM file is used by, it's called a build tool called Maven. And that actually will build your application. But they have this, which dependencies here. The group ID is Vassal Engine, and then the Vassal App. And then you can specify what version of Vassal, which the property is defined up here. And then you can define what you want down here. This was interesting, which is using, it uses JDOM. Don't use that. And it's resources that you have to grab for the build XML and the module data. Da, 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 da. And plugin, which I assume this is the, here's a rename of the file to the VMod, from the jar file. Okay. Oh, okay. So basically, VMod is a renamed jar file. Jar files are zip, are formatted in zip. For those of you who don't know Java. So that's what they do as part of the template here. No, it's all. There's certain things I like about Maven, certain things I don't like about Maven. Maven is can be very constrictive about how you put things together. The idea is that you have it so that it's configuration via files or directories. Basically, instead of having a file that defines it, you define it as where you locate things. And, it's interesting. But anyhow, oh, by the way, for those who obviously, if you listen to the news portion, you already know this, which is Jeff and Daniel were unable to play. I'm sorry that happens. Especially when one of the people, the individual, is in a cruise ship. On a cruise ship and the internet. And as I mentioned last week, that was my one concern, is that because of currently the online client requires you to have a good, steady connection, it is, it might not work so well. I do have an alternate, which I've worked on. I still haven't got it to the point where it I'm not sure why it doesn't work at the moment. It should be, but I'm missing something. The whole idea is it is a different game server, and the game server is designed from scratch by me. It's very simplified. It's not IRC anymore. But the one benefit to it is that it would be HTTP based. HTTP based means that if you drop the connection gets dropped, in most part you're okay. Now the only issue in my mind would be that if that failed for when you're doing the request, then I have to make sure the client actually goes, oh, you failed, resubmit the request in that case. Which actually shouldn't be too difficult. Maybe. The problem is that, there's one request, which is basically requests what the latest events are from the server. And if that one fails, there could be an issue in that the server might get updated for its counter about what events you currently have downloaded versus what you actually have downloaded. So that gets problematic. Anyhow, sorry. Go in complete and the developer mode there for a little bit. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just to let you know, my discussion with Patient Zero, the one thing I did find out, which was most of the people he talks to, I asked him, where do you talk to these people? And basically, they're conventions and game group. So,
okay.
Mostly groups that are not online.
And the question about that is how much of that is biased by him.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly.
versus input backwards, because we don't hear the conversations.
Right. And I mean, might not even be bias of him, but just the group of individuals that he hangs around with might have a certain mindset.
Oh, yeah.
How small groups are kind of insular, insular,
Yes.
and so
Totally
that
get it.
might skew their thinking and so forth. So, I don't hold against them because hey, we all need to have different views. I think
Yeah.
that's a great thing.
Yep. So
Humans.
7 or so weeks to gamers.
I know.
Did I mention it gets that close that quick around the holidays?
Yeah, and considering that
Yeah.
we won't have a new episode for 3 weeks, because
And send
1 week, 2 week,
me
3, yeah, it'll be 3 weeks.
a
Because the next 2 weeks, next week is Christmas. Week after that is January
New
1st,
Year's.
New Year's. And then, of course, the week after that's actually going to be January 8th, which is going to be 3 days after my brother's birthday.
Oh,
Now,
hey, I just realized something. New Year's Day is not New Year's Eve.
true. In
Could
theory.
be, get your nice good day of sleeping in and
Yeah.
get up and still do that.
That's true.
Yeah. Are you going
I
back to work on Friday afterwards?
no.
Or do you have the whole week off?
I got the whole week up.
The whole
I'm
2 weeks.
taking off the January 2nd. Actually, I'm gonna be heading out for camp. I'm gonna do some more camping.
Yeah, just looking at the schedule there. You, well,
Which,
if you're camping, there's that, but
yeah, oh
it's
yeah, oh
like,
the
hey.
second, yeah, I'm gonna be gone. Second, third, and fourth, I'm gone. There.
But the first?
Yep, understood.
That's
Yeah,
not the 31st.
true. I might actually be willing to do a podcast on the first.
Okay. Woohoo!
So I take back what I said earlier.
Yeah, I just opened it up and looked at it and saw that. And I'm like, ooh. Okay.
Yeah, I plan on heading down to Maryland for camping this time. I got to do some more prep work. Did a little work with the trailer and so forth, and that organizing things and cleaning. There's a lot of stuff I put in there from the first time we went camping, and it's been over 10 times now that we've been camping, and I've yet to actually use that stuff. And this one of those things is, I had 3 boxes of plastic utensils. I never use them.
Yeah.
Because we actually have a set of regular utensils sitting in the back of the trailer, which we keep in the trailer. So there's no reason to actually have the plastic knives and forks. If I really got desperate, I could just go marine. Marine pop. I was like, what's my friend call it? I think a marine popsicle.
Multiple.
I think it's, well, actually, the marine meat sickle. He broke his arm, so he could not cut his meat. So he'd take like a steak, stick it with a fork, and then eat it that way. Hey,
Okay.
it works.
It's
I don't think I don't I'm not saying anything of it. It's like,
my belly. It's okay.
yep, hey. Yeah, that's when he was at VMI, Virginia Military Institute. That's where he went to college, which is
Nice.
interesting. Oh man, I feel sorry for him because actually he has the second time he's got right now he hey but I hate the way I'm trying to put it in a nice way. He got married for a second time. He was a widower because of they
Oh.
got an accident with a snowplow,
Oh.
and the snowplow killed his wife.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, So, yeah, not exactly the most fun way. I'm sure you went through therapy for that. I know I would. I'm sure my wife would appreciate that he doesn't want to die. I don't want her to die. She doesn't want me to die.
Nobody
what a
wants to.
shocker when it comes to that. You know? So, yes, I that's one thing I will be doing. I should have time to do this weekend, which is actually work on the two surveys, and I plan on putting them out. I'm actually ponying up the money, because it's expensive. Currently, I can do a free survey from SurveyMonkey for 25 people. I get 25 responses. The first 25 are the responses I get. The question is it worth me spending the money, which is basically, it's $100 for a month with SurveyMonkey to go back to more than 25 people?
How many people do you really expect to have answer it?
That's the question. Well, look, not, yeah, that is the question. How many people do I expect to have answer? And if more than 25 people answer, does it matter? Can
Well, here's another question. Couldn't you just do it on Facebook or through an email as a questionnaire?
True, but then I have to process it.
Oh man. I mean, you could build a database and just plug in each email right into the database.
The problem is the replies would on the in the email would have to be via email, or I'd have to set up my own survey on my website and actually programmatically do it that way.
And would that be like not that difficult? Comparatively speaking, and a lot cheaper.
Well, definitely it'll be a lot
Yeah.
cheaper. I have to think about if it worth my while to actually write up create the web page for the survey.
Yeah, because that's not that difficult.
Agreed. I can easily create a CSV file of the responses. That wouldn't be too difficult. I have to write also some personal information just to.
But doesn't Facebook have a survey thing too that's like free? I'm not sure.
Okay. Do, do, do,
But
do, do.
yeah, just there's different ways of doing it. Because the real question, yeah, it comes down to is it really worth spending the money on?
True. Goodbye. Had to ban somebody.
Message deleted by a moderator. Was
Yeah.
it something like I didn't catch it?
Yeah.
Was it worth, was it even marginally amusing?
No, it wasn't. Wasn't even a Viagra ad.
Okay.
No.
Ugh.
I'm sorry. If you're gonna, let's come in and just blast that, and that means you're just.
Oh, they're that's a bot.
As a
They're
bot,
blasting
right? In
everything.
which case, I talked about this, last week, which is the number of people that I've banned and now they're unknown users.
Yeah, that's because eventually the system bans them too.
Right.
They get reported, they get banned.
Yeah, the funny part is there's some that are like, got one from 4 years ago that. Restricted from chatting by I restricted them. I did not ban them. I banned
Maybe that's
one,
the
which
difference.
was I banned one 2 years ago, and they're still around. The rest of them are unknown user at this point.
Yeah, the one might have been an actual person too, as opposed to like somebody's bot.
Well, I know I definitely earlier on, I think I was more lenient about ban. I don't want to ban people. More like this, be quiet.
Give me that hammer. Oh, sorry.
Well, the nail, you know.
Yeah, if it's like this, if it's a bot just doing its thing, it's like, you know, it's like it's just a little bitty golf ball. Give it a whack.
Yeah. Understood. Okay, well, I think with that we'll wrap it up for this evening. Mostly it was about Vassal and the client, which is, hey, that's fine with me. So, Doug, it's always a pleasure having you around.
Gamers of Winter, 7 weeks. Give me your schedule. Yar.
Will do, will do.
About 7-8 weeks right now.
I know. Definitely, one of the demos I definitely have decided on, it's going to be Marines. Definitely Starfleet Marines. I've figured out the other one.
Speaking of demo.
Yeah.
Speaking of demo, we still need to build up your thing.
Yes, we do.
So let me know when you want to pop down for that.
Mm-hmm. So. Someone posted that I'm building a Vassal model for Field of Glory game. Cool. Yeah, I agree that someone posted that ASL is definitely a GOAT. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Advanced Squad Leader is GOAT. It's just like SFB is GOAT. It's definitely GOAT too. They are way back in the day, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I still remember I was explaining to somebody about LAGA, Lebanon Area Gamers Association, mm-hmm. which was a group that I found when I first came home from the Army back in 87. And one of their things was, you know, that table I have that's in storage.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it from them when they broke up as a group.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the benches that I used to have that were lost when we got booted from my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
That we moved from my mom's house to the house in Harrisburg and back into my mom's house. Yeah, those came with it too. But no, they would have an ASL event. I mean, I found them because I was looking for SFB players and they had some out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have like multiple ASL games going. And I remember one weekend, they had a big weekend event where they were fighting like a German versus Russian Eastern Front kind of setup.
Wow.
And it was connected tables of maps with multiple people on each side of the tables fighting out like as individual like company commander types in that. It was, I looked at it and went, oh my God, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't have the camera bug back then, but if I saw that, that'd be one of those you take a picture of it moments.
I would have loved to see a picture of that. Oh, that would must have been incredible.
In my mind's eye, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Oh,
I'm
sure it was.
It wasn't just like a bunch of people playing tournament type thing or a bunch of people playing the same scenarios. No. Bunch of interconnected things to make one humongous map.
Right.
Oh, it was beautiful. So,
did they handle turns? Is it? I assume it was turns for everybody on the board.
I do not know. I did not really inquire of it. I just kind of watched it for a bit and admired it,
and then
went and played SFP.
Okay.
So, yeah, I played SFB out there and a little bit of D&D until I got into the Rollmaster and Cthulhu group in Harrisburg. And that was pretty much it because the Harrisburg group was like 5-10 minutes away versus a 45-minute drive to Lebanon. And then, like, another year or so later, I think internal politics finished Laga off as a significant organization. But I remember that fondly. Yeah. I wasn't ever, like, a voting member, I don't think. But it was the kind of thing where I admire it, and I was actually thinking of something similar to it, but not quite the same for here. Something where instead of being a traditional game shop where you're charging people to come in and use tables, I was thinking along the lines of not quite private clubbish, but more like private clubbish, where you come where the clientele expectation would be coming in and setting up, say, F&E for 3 days and being able to play that for 3 or 4 days straight. You know, you could play the general war out like at a convention, or you could play out, you know, Gettysburg. It'd be more of a wargamer or miniatures oriented thing versus like Magic the Gathering, where it's you're sitting down to a tournament format and you pay them to come in and play and you pay them for the tournament and, you know, and you're just a big cash cow for them. This would be like a smaller clientele base that might pay a little bit more than that, but would have an expectation of being able to set up a mega game and play it out with their friends versus like, you know, I'm here to play Magic and I'm done in an hour or I'm done in 6 hours.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of a random thought because it would also be the kind of space that we could use to run gamers at.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be good for building things like special projects by Doug.
Right.
When it's not in use by other people. So, yeah. It's kind of a random thought. I've had this thought a few times over the years, but it's like, gee, now that I'm living in a shoebox, I think it might be a good idea to go do something like that. But finding a space for it, pulling it together, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me know when you want to come down. I know really people get hectic around the holidays, but I'm not that hectic this holiday. So
I know.
Bundle of joy that I am. So, but just let me know. I mean, and then we can also see about setting up a thing for like doing a podcast for like me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That would feel weird, but indifferent.
Yeah.
So
I think that'd be great.
Okay. That's about all I got at the moment.
Okay, well,
I'll be here when you're done.
Okay, well, you have a good night then.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on again.
So, I'm sure you guys can't hear, but I can't hear it, which is, it's raining here. But anyhow, we want more on point. Had a nice discussion about Vassal, some limitations that are definitely known. Obviously, I will be putting out the survey in one way or the other, whether I create a web page which I'll have people to submit a survey through that or what. Obviously, yeah. The tough part is I'd have to somehow get rid of the spammers and slammers that. You know how those things are. I know exactly what all those things are. I've had to deal with them for years when it comes to the contact page. Because spammers have gotten to the point where they're desperate for getting out their message. So they spam contact pages. You know, there's little contact, instead of having, you know, giving out your email address, that, okay, now you're actually just creates an email that's on the contact page and then sends it to you. Well, that's what they do. And actually, for a while there, I was fighting them off, and I've got it to the point where I don't get any emails any contacts using from my contact page that are not really contacts. Every once in a while it happens, and then I have to tweak it again. But you know, I think I got it pretty locked down at this point. But anyhow, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you good night.